At our church in Oskaloosa, we didn't have Sun. Well, we had Sundays at some point, and then we had primarily Sunday and Wednesdays. And then what happened was, our pastor scheduled a special event. The only Sunday night the whole year, it was on Super Bowl Sunday, and it was like Raiders are playing in the Super Bowl, and it was, back when, VHS. So it's been a while, all right? It was like 2002. But anyway, so
he went to church.
I was like, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me. And then on the way, I was like, dude, sorry about your Raiders. I'm like, no! So anyway. I know. I know. So I got like halfway through and I just forget it. I got that triggered that night. So anyway, hallelujah. I am getting my dealy bob here. Working, so trying to work. Okay. Awesome. Seeing that there's a virus, we're gonna just pray over my iPad here really quick and plead for healing. I'm kidding.
Oh, please
I got it to
don't.
pull up. So we got to pull up. So your so the internet or the in this area is just completely crazy.
It is.
But hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord, as we just get into your word tonight, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you so much that you're the answer. And we glorify you in your name. Amen. So again, we're going to talk about the answer is Jesus again tonight, part two. And, I think last week, well, let's just say this. We didn't really get into anything last week, did
Because
we?
we
Because the
have
Holy Ghost
a
broke.
lot of Holy
Holy
Ghost.
Ghost was moving. So amen. Well, so yeah, this is part one. So we really
It
didn't get
really
into
is.
it. And we won't, and we can kind of finish up here next week too. But it's hard for people to understand that the especially the world, that the answer is Jesus. Answer is, I was listening to a statistic, and this pastor was talking about how when we're changed, that a person that reads the Bible one day a week, there's no change. 2 days or two times a week, but 3 days, but when you hit four times a week, there's a significant change in you. When you read the word 4 days, at least 4 days out of the week, there's definitely, and I guess there was a extensive Bible study or the Bible study of this for about 20 years. They noticed that once you hit about 4 days a week, that's when significant change happens in your life. The word begins to transform you. A number of people surprisingly feel. And this is some statistics, stats that I saw online. They don't know what to do with their lives. You ever have so many people now, especially younger people, they don't know what to do with their lives. I mean, AI is coming out, all of these things are coming out, and they feel like, am I gonna have a job? Am I gonna have this? What's my future gonna look like? But you know that Jesus is the answer, and he's going to reveal things to us. Last year, American Psychological Association, the APA, surveyed and found 26% of U.S. adults aren't sure or don't think that they will achieve their dreams or goals in life. 26%. So about one out of four. A Gallup found that about 48% of Americans were classified as thriving based on how they view their current and future lives. So that means over half of people do not feel like they're thriving in life. We see that among Gen Z, last year, Gallup study found 45% reported lacking meaning, purpose, or both. Can you imagine that? Not quite half of Gen Z feel like they're lacking meaning, they don't have purpose, or they don't have either one. That's disturbing. And roughly speaking, if you mean people who often sometimes feel lost, uncertain about their direction, or unsure what they really want to do with their lives, the number is likely that tens of millions of Americans, possibly well over 50 million, have that feeling. And then another study with the Gallup says that there's a best study in surveys directly measure feelings on directionless, lacking purpose, or not knowing what to do with their life. And then 45% of Gen Z's reported lacking meaning, purpose, or both in their lives. More specifically, and it broke down to this, the reason I'm saying this is because so many people do not have purpose. Found that 60% of Gen Z said that they often feel like their life has no direction. 60%. Approximately 40% said they do not consistently feel that their life is moving in the right direction. Interestingly enough, a Harvard study showed that a study of young adults found that 58% reported lack of meaning or purpose in their lives during the previous month. So just recently they felt like, so that's not over of half, about between a half and two thirds. And then half of them said that they're not knowing what to do with their life will negatively affect their mental health. And again, these aren't exact, but you know, it is something where we can go on, but about 32% of young adults said that they have found no purpose in their life. No purpose. And approximately one in two Americans, I'll say one out of every three, especially younger adults, may experience significant uncertainty about their purpose, direction, or what they want through their lives. So almost between right around a third feel like there is no purpose. And so we could go on. And then another one here, this is really interesting. Statistics shows that the percentage of, and I just want to kind of tie this in. And again, just going to church doesn't mean that you're necessarily a great, you know, necessarily a believer that walks with God, but it does show something, okay, of our nation. So it says percentage of adults that go to church. Number one, 31% of Americans go weekly, which I think that's kind of high. That's my opinion. 40% of Americans go once a month and 57% never go. So you look at those stats almost match perfectly of where the people feel like they have no direction, yeah. Right? I mean, like 57% never go to church, so they have no contact with the word or anything. And so we're seeing that there is a correlation as people drift farther away from the word, farther away from the Lord, there's more hopelessness, more uncertainty, and a lot of those things. So let's look at John chapter 14. We'll spend a few minutes tonight talking about Jesus as the answer. And the word, what it does, it's like Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your faith is built when we're reading the word, right? It has more confidence. This morning, I was just sitting there reading the word, and I was just sitting there just thinking to myself, and I was seeing someone, I was in 2 Chronicles, there where, you know, Solomon was, my personal time, Solomon was just got done rebuilding the temple, building the temple for the first time, excuse me. And they had had a sacrifice, fire came down from heaven and consumed it. And then the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter. And the interesting thing was, when I was reading that, I was sharing with Adrian, I said, you know, it's interesting how it says the children saw it and they all worshiped the Lord. How the children, verse 3, they're in 2 Chronicles. And this is like 14th chapter, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look it up where I was at. But how the children saw the glory and began to worship God. They began to glorify God. And they said, great is God, and his mercy endures forever. And these are children who saw this, and they saw the glory. They saw the manifestation of the Lord, and they began to worship God. They knew there was something real there, even in the Old Testament. And so we look at John chapter 14, verse 1. And I love this part. I love the scripture, just this saying. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. There's so much there just in that statement to say, don't let your hearts be troubled. I remember there's a talk show host that he would always use that phrase, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. Such a good thing, because what is don't let your hearts be troubled? It's everything, right? No matter what you're thinking about that's negative or bringing you down, don't let it trouble you. Why? Because there's hope. I'm letting the cat out of the bag. Because there's hope behind that. It doesn't matter what situation that we're in. And, you know, it's always interesting how, you know, and some people, they always get over into the persecution thing, right? Well, God's just putting disease on people and sickness on people. No, but sometimes, you know, like, for example, when God is wanting to bring David as a king, he'll allow a Goliath to come across your path. on our way to freedom from Egypt, there's a Red Sea in your way, right? Why? Because there's things that we need to overcome, but we don't need to worry about or let our hearts get troubled, because when we got God, we're always going to be victorious. Even if that means we take our last breath, we still have victory in death, right? We're still, right? Like the Apostle Paul said, hey, it's great for me to go, but it's actually gain for you that I stay, because I'm here to teach you and to help you. But if I checked out today and went and died, I'm going to be in glory with the Lord, right? So even if the ultimate bad thing happens, we still get it better than anybody else. I mean, we still win. And so we see here, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. What's that? Knowing Him, connecting with Him, understanding Him. Not being troubled means we're connecting with God, knowing Him. What does that bring us? It brings us purpose. It brings us direction. It brings us peace. Everything. And then it goes on, and trust also in me, said Jesus. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. I like that translation rather than many mansions, because it doesn't quite, I don't think it quite makes sense. But when it says many rooms, because we're talking about, you know, the Lord's house, but it says, if this were not so, would I not go to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. This is so awesome, because what is Jesus saying? Don't let yourself be troubled, because guess what? I'm going to take you where I'm at. You're going to be with me forever. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to be with me, right? And you know the way to where I am going. You know, it's interesting, because we see that Peter was crucified upside down. We see Paul was beheaded. And I think they were like, I think Paul and Peter, I think historically they were actually, a couple of them were executed on the same day. It's really interesting. But you know, they had so much peace as going into death. Why? Because they took this scripture to heart, and didn't matter what was going on in life, they did not worry about anything. They knew to die is gain, to stay here is loss, right? It's like, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. I it doesn't matter, because yeah, though I go, like David said, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because on the other side I have victory. And so we're seeing Jesus is saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. The key is to trust in God. And then guess what? I'm going to come get you. You're going to be with me. And the end result is going to be wonderful, because you're going to be with me. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be with my Father. Verse 5. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. Of course, you know, doubting Thomas. He's always, you know, having a rain on a parade. And so we have no idea where you're going. So how can we say we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to stop there for a moment, because again, too many years I have just like Brother Hagin said and some other ministers, just cataloged through the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with just reading and casually reading things. But when we dig into this, we see that Jesus is the way. He's the way in our life. And this is where I think a lot of the young people, they're missing it. And these just have no purpose, because Jesus gives you a way. He illuminates your path. He goes on here and he says, I am the way, the truth. What is the truth? The truth is not just a concept, it's a person. The truth is a person. Now there's facts, like, you know, there's, you know, different facts, but truth is a person. It comes from God. The way, the truth, and the life. You know, I just remember, of course, I'm not cool with all the new dialect now, okay? I've been told that, all right? I don't know all the little cool hip things, but I just remember, you know, when I was younger, it was like, don't have a cow, man, right? Or get a life, dude. You know, the get a life thing, you know? Dude, you need to get a life. You know, tell my parents, like, you guys need to get a life, you know? It's like, I didn't know nothing. I was a big idiot. But, you know, but get a life. Jesus is sitting here saying, I got a life. I'll give you a life. He is the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him, right? And I think the more I'm, especially recently, and I know it sounds funny, me saying this, but I'm having more revelation on seeking him than anything else. And I this guy I was talking to, or not talking to, but I was listening to, it was really interesting. He was talking about one of his friends was challenging him and said, "Hey, pray 3 hours a day and see how your business and your life changes." And he's like, "Okay." And he started doing it, just spending time with God, and everything started changing. Why? Because he is the way. The way. He is the truth, and he's the life. He's going to breathe life into us. And as I'm, you know, I know life's busy. You got kids. You got things going on. You've got work. We've got everything else going on. And we know it's just very challenging to find time. But even times I'm just driving and I'm praying and I'm trying, fellowshipping with him. And what do you think, God? And why? Because but I'm not going to him for an answer. I'm going to him because I want to be part of him. I want him to be part of me. I want a fellowship with him. And one of the things we were talking about this morning, just on the depths of God and everything, and I was reading in Luke this morning about, you know, how the Lord was, you know, got done, delivered the demonized man with the legion of demons and went into the swine, killed themselves. And right after that, they got in a boat, fell asleep on the way over, and the disciples are freaking out. "Jesus, we're going to drown. Everything's going to be awful, terrible." And so here he is, gets up and rebukes the storm. And then they're all, you know, awestruck because even the winds and the waves obey him. And, you know, Jesus just relaxed, commands the storm there. And so, you know, as I'm reading this, and I'm thinking to myself, and I think we were just talking this morning, as I was reading that passage, just about how, you know, because the demon said, "Well, have you come before my time to torment me? You know, have you come to torment us?" And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if we're in a fallen state, is it more torturous to be in the presence of God than to be in hell, you know? And to me, I mean, as somebody, as a believer, I want to be with him. I want to be with him. And there's something, you know, demonic, you know, demons don't want anything to do with God, right? They don't want anything to do with him. But us as spirit-filled believers, if we're born again, if we're saved, then that's something inside of us should be drawn to what? The way. We should be drawn to the truth. We should be drawn to the light. Not that we're always trying to get things. And so as we're seeing, as Jesus is the answer, it's not something that, you know, everybody knows that kids, you know, right when you buy them the thing that they want, they're just so nice. You ever notice that? You know, "I love you, mommy. I love you, daddy. You said, thank you so much." You know, so you know what's so crazy is when you say no, sometimes you don't always get those lovey-dovey, right? Sometimes it's like, you know, Christmas day, you know, Christmas morning, everything's wonderful and we're just so happy. You know, everybody's model children. Everything's wonderful, right? It's so easy to be that when everything's going our way, right? You know, when everything's wonderful. But when are we still going to love God when things aren't going well? Because count it all joy, right? When we fall into diverse temptations, it's not the situation depends on whether we praise him. It's the person as we're going to praise him. And to me, I'm just more, you know, even when sometimes it's challenging in life or things come up, I'm like, I don't know what to do, or getting in a pinch or something like that. I'm not sure what to do. I was like, "Lord, I thank you for what I have. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for my family. Thank you for what I, thank you if I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm not starving. Thank you that I have what I have." And I begin to praise him and thank him. And it's not my situations that dictate my mood, whether I'm going to praise him or not. It's going to be what? Him. Because I love him. And so we move on here to John 15, verse 1. 15, verse 1. And I believe the reason why we're seeing so many kids are they have no direction, they have nothing, they're depressed, they're lost their way, is because they're not connected with the way. They're not connected with the truth. They're not connected with the life. They're not connected with the way. And there's life in him. John 15:1 says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Now that's kind of a scary thought. Am I producing fruit? Right? Am I a fruit-producing person in the kingdom? And he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so that they will produce even more. How many people want to pray that? God, give me patience. Or God, prune me so I can produce more fruit. Right? And then you get people that, again, you know, like Joseph, everything's going great. God's like, I got to get him to Egypt. But it's a bumpy ride between here and Egypt, right? And then I know we've all been there sometimes where you just feel like, God, why is this happening? What's going on? What's going on? But if we count it all joy to know that our circumstances can change overnight. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me. See, it's a person. I know I talk about this a lot. But remain in me and I will remain in you. Isn't that great how he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us? He'll remain in us. He's going to stick with us. Even when we miss the mark, we repent and come back to him. 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse of all unrighteousness. Amen? He is somebody that loves us no matter what. We feel dry, he's there to pump us up. When we're, feel discouraged, alone, whatever, we can go back and we can pull from his lifeline. For a branch cannot produce fruit from itself, and if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So again, we see all these people that they are not connected with the vine, which is Jesus, and what are they doing? We have so many youth that they don't know what to do. They're discouraged. They don't have purpose. They don't have direction. They don't have anything. They don't have the direction. And God has put plans in every one of us to do something, to be creative, to be productive. And it's one of the worst things that, I always say too, it's always just, I think it's very fascinating to see the Bible always talking about being productive or the parable of the talent or producing something in our lives. Or we're doing something, we're taking something, and everything is very organic. And how many examples are trees? I mean, we see trees in the Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, and then we see this tree and that tree, or we see the Bible talking about fruit and there's seeds in it, and everything's multiplied in our lives. And God wants to see us multiply in our lives, whether that's connection with him, whatever that is. I love it. Remain in me and I'll remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. I know sometimes when I run, I'm running just ragged or some things. Maybe there's a day or something and I'm not connecting. And it's like, God, I got to come running back to you. Amen. And there are just times in our lives where we're just, either a day or something happens, we're just busy. But I just love it when I'm coming back to him because he's the vine. And I want to hear his voice. I want to have his peace, right? I was listening to this nun. It was really fascinating because she was talking about things. She goes, the Bible never promises happiness. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't. It promises joy, peace. I mean, happiness is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. But joy means my situation can go in chaos, but I still have this centered peace and this joy to know that God is going to get me through this. And we're going to work. God works all things together for the good of those whom he loves. And so again, we just think and understand, and this is the problem, I think, too many Christians and, sometimes again, denomination people, they just think that God's after them. He's mad at them. He's putting sickness and disease on people. He's the one doing this. He's the one doing that. And so I don't see anybody where Jesus puts sickness on people in the New Testament. God is not putting sickness on people. Jesus is not going up and go, oh, let's give him some leprosy. Oh, let's give him some cancer. Oops, Let's give this one an issue of blood. Oh, let's go ahead and kill this person. Let's go ahead and do this. And let's go ahead and do that. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, we just read. And so he's not doing those things. But it doesn't mean sometimes we may not go through some challenging times, right? Because let me just say, you're standing and looking at a Goliath, it looks a little intimidating. And you got to have a lot, you got to have really focus on God to pick up five stones, a slingshot, and go, I'm going to kill this puppy with a rock. I mean, you know, I mean, your mind and your flesh is going wacko sometimes, right? And that's got to be somebody that's very centered on God and go, well, I killed a bear, I killed a lion, you know. A lion, a tiger, a bear, oh my, a lion. I mean, I killed all these other, and you're going to be the same one. And I know greater is me, he that's on me, than this Philistine. And away we go, right? We'll wrap things up here. It says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many people are so lost they don't know it is because they're not connected with the person. Jesus just said, you can't do anything without me, right? Well, Pastor, there's all these people that are successful in the world and everything else too. You know what? You can have money and you're not prosperous. You know, having money and being prosperous is not the same thing, right? I mean, you can have a bunch of money, get it ill gains, and then you are miserable in the whole process. I mean, you look at, I remember doing a lot of study at the Great Depression, you know, how many people committed suicide during the Great Depression? You know, jumping out of windows and committing suicide. Why? Because their faith is all in their money. And when the stock market was overinflated, right, and there wasn't actually any cash in it, everybody had all the IOUs and everything. And then what happened was payday came and it blew up, the balloon popped, and all these people that thought they had wealth, it was not there. And we're seeing people committing suicide. We've got 6-7 million people died of starvation, all these other things. Why? Because their faith is in money. It's in mammon. It's not in God. Having money is great and all those other things, but again, it says, produce it, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We are nothing without him. And every day I get up and I'm thinking, God, everything I have, I can't do anything. I can't even walk. I can't breathe because of you. I can't even function. I don't even have a body because the Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So my body doesn't even belong to me. It is on loan from God, right? He created me. I'm a steward of his body. It's really not even mine. It's really not even yours, but it's his. It's his property. And so, you know, without him, nothing happens. I mean, you know, we're not biologically, you know, the air and everything and the sun, the moon, the star, all this other stuff, the heat. And, you know, I mean, everything would go absolutely chaos, dead if it wasn't for him. If he stopped like, I'm checking out here. We'll just go ahead and, I mean, the air we breathe, everything is so defined that you know that it's intelligent design. And anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, here we go, and my words remain in you, may ask for anything you want, and what? It will be granted. And I just want you to just hear me out on this. Let me just say this, as you grow and develop in him, now a person who is out, not in the word and everything else too, the things that they'll ask for, as you grow and develop with God, your want to changes and the things you ask for will change. It will not be the same, right? Because why? Because we connect with him, fellowship with him, his want to's become our want to's. And I kind of laugh at people because, I mean, you know, everybody's so focused on, when I get to heaven, it's going to be so great. We're going to, like, streets of gold and mansions and all this stuff and everything else too. I'm going to say, when you get to heaven, you're not going to care about this. I mean, that's going to be nice, but it's going to be just people, right? It's going to be all about Jesus. It's all going to be about the Holy Ghost when, you know, he's there too. And then it's all about the Father. It's all about angels and people and, you know, his, it's not what we think. You know, we're always thinking about the stuff, and the stuff is great, but we're not going to care about that stuff when we're there. It's kind of a nice add-on, but when we're there, it's going to be full of joy, peace, people, you know, just understanding more about God, you know, walking with Jesus, right? I mean, I want to talk to Jonah someday when I'm there, you know, about like, dude, what was it like? I mean, in that fish for 3 days, like, what were you thinking, right? Or Daniel, you know, when you're in that lion's den, you freaked out at all, you know? I just want to, you know, or the disciples, you know, that'd be cool. You know, like, you're in the boat, like, you see Peter walking. I mean, did you want to go too? What was that like? You know, I just want to find out more, you know? It's like, the word of God is so exciting, but it's also going to, like, someday be able to talk to the people that I've read about my entire life. So exciting, right? And then discover God, more about him, and more about the things. And, you know, the Bible talks about, too, that, you know, gives hints that this, what they're called eons, which are ages to come, right? The Bible only gives us this little sliver between about, you know, it gives hints before Adam and Eve, but it kind of only really details from about Adam and Eve and, you know, some things before that. And then we'll go to heaven, and we have no idea what's after that. I mean, what are the wonderful things that God has for us afterwards? And the enemy and this world system, the God of this world, wants us to focus on right now, right? Working, get your 401k built up as much as possible. And those things are nothing wrong with that. But when we walk with God, there's so many more amazing things out there that he has for us in this life and the life to come. And I always like to say, it's an eternal perspective. When we walk with God and we see the word of God, it's not just for the here and now, but it's for what our generation, the next generation, and then after this. So we're pouring into the next generation. We're, you know, storing up treasures on the other side. I don't think it's like gold and all this other stuff, but it's about people and relationships and rewards that we've established here. And then he goes on and he says, again, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown like useless branch that withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile, they're burned. But again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. You ever notice how God, Jesus never really talks about say this prayer and then everything's going to go away? He's talking about getting up, producing something, following me. You're my disciples. This brings great joy to my Father, right? And the great thing about it is when, you know, as we grow up as kids, everything's about ourselves, you know. It's like, that's my toy. No, that's mine. Yeah, I want that pizza. I want this. I want that. And as we grow and develop, and especially the things of God, it's about how do I make the Father happy? And Jesus was absolutely obsessed with that. I don't do or say anything the Father doesn't, you know, tell me to say. And even the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's ready to go to the cross, he's like, is there another way out of this thing? Because I'm going. But so even the cross, his whole focus is about, he, you know, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says that the joy that's set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and endured the cross for us. And so he was obeying the Father. He was focused on producing fruit, obeying the Father, doing what the Father wants to do. Why? Because it brings the Father great joy. One of my prayers lately that I'm doing, praying more and more, again, bless you, is about, Lord, how am I pleasing you? Like, help me please you more. Because years ago, my whole prayer life was about, oh God, I need this. Help me here, do this. And you know, it's always SOS calls all the time. You know, it's like you're trying to get out of trauma and chaos all the time. Or, you know, you're just like, God, help me here. I need this. And, you know, I do go before him for requests. But then we see that as you get down and you abide in him, what's Jesus is talking about here? It really comes back to bringing him glory, pleasing the Father, doing and obeying and walking with him. That's the ultimate development right there. Again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the answer. And we're going to get a little deeper here as we close. And he goes, verse 9, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Here we go. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Part of God's love language is obeying, right? Acts of service. I mean, you read the Old Testament and you see something that just gets God fired up more than anything else is what? Disobedience, right? I have told you these things so that what? You will be filled with my joy. And I think the kingdom, as we don't understand, is serving and connecting with him. There's joy in that. And we think that our idea of what we need and what we want all the time, that's going to bring joy. My life, the greatest joy that I experience is when I hear his voice and connect with him. That's the joy that I have. Yes, I've told these things, they're with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow, and this is my commandment. Here we go. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, you are my friends. And so I've told you everything that the Father has told me. This is so powerful. And I know that it sounds, oh yeah. But when we transfer over from connecting into pleasing the Father, when we develop in our spirit man or our heart to be able to transfer over into pleasing him and loving him, and then we're going to have the joy. But then also, too, the great thing is about friendship with God. You know, I believe the first person that was really called a friend of God was Abraham, right? Abraham wasn't born again or anything else, too. It's just that he was interested in God. And the crazy thing is God said, go to Ur, and he just, like, left. Just, you know, I'm gone. I mean, Abraham had money. He had probably, you know, servants. He had all these things. He had established all his family. And then he leaves, just goes. And the Bible talks about he is friend of God. You know, also too, before he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he'd go, what do you think about this? Abraham would go, well, could you do this? Could you spare it for 50? I could do that. Could you spare it for 40? You know, and they have this dialogue that God is going to him, asking his creation, what do you think about this? And they're having this conversation. And so, you know, even somebody that's not born again, Old Testament, that God still wants to be friends with and go beyond that and be sonship. And I think one thing too is just this love commandment as we close here. One of the things we've been kind of talking about, people that are, they be mean or they just do really mean things. And I'm thinking to myself, they claim to be Christians and everything else too. And I'm thinking, that just hurts my heart just hearing about those things. You know, like why would you want to, you know, be mean to people, try to, you know, destroy people and do these things when I come back to the word and I'm thinking, you know, we're commanded to love each other. We're commanded to walk in love. We're commanded to do these things. And the people, you know, their heart. And to me, when I think about those things or when I think about people that are doing these things, I think to myself, man, I just, the Lord. And I see the Lord, and I see just kind of in my spirit, mind, him, like, Lord, I know you'd be displeased with me to do that. More and more I'm thinking to myself, and I'm not perfect, obviously, you know, I think this is the hardest thing to do is walk in love. I think this is the hardest thing in the Bible to do, right? I mean, just the love walk is the most difficult thing our flesh has to do, right? And I think that's where what we're seeing too is that me, again, I'm trying to be more that, but when that's our focus, or at least, you know, how is that going to, is that going to help or hurt the other person? How is that going to impact them? Lord, what do you think about this? And you know what? Your heart will condemn you. The Holy Spirit will condemn you on those things. He, not condemn you, but he will convict your heart. And that's where it comes back into being led by the Holy Spirit on these situations. Because again, when we become a friend, he's the way, the truth, and life. When we come to him, we connect with him, we fellowship with him, we're wanting to please the Father, and to please the Father, say, does this activity, does this thing, does it please you, Lord? Rather than, I just want to blow up. I just want to zing him, you know? And I feel like that sometimes with people. I think we all do. You get irritated with people. You know, something goes on. But again, the Lord always has spoken to me about things that I get upset about. And the Lord will speak to me about, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their capacity is. And so some of those times when I do speak to the Lord will like speak to me about things and show me things, even about the person, not to blab to people about it, but I'll have something on the inside, or he'll maybe speak to me about some things that he wants me to know. Sometimes he doesn't tell me. I don't need to know. Or he doesn't, it's none of my business. But again, it's something where we're continuing just to pray for people. and that's something too, Lord, I've been doing more myself, just people that, you know, you have something, your flesh rises up, and the Lord be like, well, just pray for him. I'm like, you're right. I need to do that. You know, you get that person who just flares up, or you think about some person, you're like, ugh, you know, that person who just grinds on you, you know, and you're thinking, Lord, bless them. Lord, help them. They do need help, God. They do need this, right? And it's something where, because why? Because that pleases him. That pleases him. Not what my feelings are. You know, and this one minister one time I was, he has passed away, but he was a prophet in India. And his name was like James Santhusan. And he'd come, and he would spend hours and hours and hours praying, and just all these incredible experiences with the Holy Spirit and everything else too. And he was talking about how he would spend so much time with the Lord and the love walk. And he says, I need to be careful what I say about people, because the Lord and I are so close that I don't want to say something out of line, negative about somebody, but I want my relationship to be close with him. And so it was not just about trying to do the right thing, but it was like my relationship with God may be hindered, or, you know, hurt our relationship if I step out of his commandments. And so that really kind of opened my eyes years ago to think that, you know, not just am I just, oh, I just want to zing somebody. I just want to do this. I just want to tell them off, because, you know, sometimes we think that that's, you know, well, you're not standing up for yourself and you're a weak person. And I remember Brother Hagin, he would not say things to people. But, you know, there's a time and place for the, you know, to say things. But also, too, that, Lord, what pleases you? And you're the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. And we're the branch, and you're the main branch that we connect to. We're the vine, and you're the branch, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight that our heart is just to please you. We want to connect with you, Lord, as we grow from faith to faith, to glory, Lord Jesus. Just, Lord, we thank you that we're going to grow deeper with you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just thank you. There's just an awakening and a revival in our nation tonight, in our world. People are coming to Jesus. The youth is coming to you, Lord. We pray for the youth tonight that, Lord, they're on fire for you. They have a heart for you, Jesus. They have purpose. They have direction, Lord Jesus, and they have peace and they have joy. And Father, we thank you that the devil, you're not going to have our youth. We're coming tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that our youth are blessed. Lord, they're growing in you, and they're going from faith to faith, to glory, and their heart is to please you and touch you. And we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you again.